questions. How old is the earth? And where do the dinosaurs fit in? And is Genesis 1 of those early days, or are they just long periods of time? Were there millions of years and then man somehow appeared? Or did all this stuff come together? And how did it work? And what we're going to do, and we started this last week, so I'm going to go pretty quickly through the very start of this. But we're looking at this whole idea of the day-age theory. And let me just say this for you as we think about it. The authority, and I mentioned this, I think, 3 weeks ago, but the bottom line is, what do we do? Where do we go to find out what is right? Where do we go to find out what we consider the truth? I think we go back to the Word of God. And so we're going to tell you what we see in the Scripture, and then we just have to make our decisions based off either what we see in Scripture or not what we see in Scripture. I mean, that's really the two ways. Let me show you the thing we're going to look at here. I think you got it. He's going to get it up in a second. We're calling it 6 days in creation. We're going to look at five things, okay? And we started on this last week, so some of it we can go a little bit quicker on, but I want to have time for questions, input, all kind of things. Number one is we're going to use the use of the word yom, which is the word for day in Hebrew. We mentioned it last week. I'm going to remind you some things. Then we're going to look about day when it is used with a cardinal or ordinal numeral. In other words, when it's put together with either 1, 2, 3, or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, how all that matches. And we'll see some other things. And then the context of Genesis 1. And you know, the question you have to ask yourself, when Moses gave this revelation from God to the people, what would they have thought he meant? God's not in the business of tricking people. When he said Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, we don't have to say, I wonder if God really meant that, and what was he trying to do there? I mean, was Jesus really on a cross? Or was it something else? And did he rise again? Or was God just saying in a spiritual way God rose again and not in a real way? So how do we know what God says? Well, when Jesus got in the boat and went across the other side of the lake, did he mean Jesus really got in the boat and went across the other side of the lake? Or did he mean something else? And when he says the eating in the morning was the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, does he mean days? Or does he mean something else? And how do we know? That kind of thing. So we're going to look at the context of Genesis 1. We're going to look at some other scripture references. And then we're going to say, if these are long periods of time, and I would say that they're not, but we'll look at it. Things have to be considered. If we're going to make these long, you got to be able to answer a couple of questions that don't match the rest of Scripture. So we'll look at that. Let's start with the word for day. And we mentioned this last week. Remember this, and I'll go quickly because we did talk about it. When you use the word day, Y-O-M in Hebrew is the word. You've heard Yom Kippur, which means day of covering. It's one of the Jewish feasts. The word day is used just like our word day. We can take the word day and we can mean 24-hour day, time period. Like this was August the 2nd, or this is February something. And we mean a day, like a day. Then we can use it for just daylight. We say it was day when they left, but it was nighttime when they got there. And we use the word day to mean daylight. And then sometimes we use the word day for a period of time, an extended period of time. Like we'll say, in my father's day, they didn't do this. Or back in the, my day when I was a kid or something, And the Bible can use that. In Joel chapter 1, it talks about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is not a particular one day. It is an extended period of time going from basically the rapture of the church all the way through the thousand-year reign of Christ. That's called the day of the Lord. So how does it all fit? We mentioned last week that the word yom in the Old Testament, because we're going to just use the Old Testament aspect here because of Genesis and it's written in Hebrew. Yom is used over 2,000 times, 1,900 times. Very obviously, very plain, it means a 24-hour daytime. 100 times it has been translated day of the Lord, beginning in Joel chapter 2, verse 1 and other places. So technically speaking, about 1,900 times it means a literal day. 100 times it means approximately an extended time period. I told you last time I could not find a time in the Bible where it was used like in my father's day. In fact, if you go to Joshua in those places, it says, in those days no king did what was right. No one did what was right in their own eyes. They wanted the king. It doesn't say in that day. It says in those days. It's plural, so it's not used in a singular form like in my father's day. So the word yom, almost every time you see it used, it means literal time. The other times it doesn't, it's referring to something like the day of the Lord. In fact, that's how it's translated. The second use, or the second aspect, was the significance of first day, second day, when it has a cardinal or an ordinal numeral with it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, first day, second day, third day, fourth day. What we can find, and y'all, I've searched everywhere I can, every book that I can find, every scholar that I can find, and I can't find a place where in the Hebrew Bible or in Hebrew writing, whenever there is a cardinal or an ordinal numeral, first, second, third, fourth, 1, 2, 3, 4, it always is referring to a real day, a literal day. Always. There's 375 places that Yom Day is used outside of Genesis in the rest of the Bible. Exodus 24:16, they covered 6 days. What do you think that meant? 6 days? They covered 6 days? You think that took them 6 days? Ezra 3:6, on the first day of the month. Do you think he meant a first day of the month or a long period of time? I mean, what did he mean? Leviticus 19:6, on the third day of the feast. Genesis 30:36, after a three-day journey. So what does it mean? Every time that it has 3, 30, 15, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, every time you can find it in the Scripture and in other writings that I've found, it always means a literal day. There's a second aspect tied in with that. The Jewish way, this is where we had to stop last week because the time ran out. The Jewish aspect of saying evening and morning is always referring to a day. Now, the Jewish calendar, as you know, or the Jewish days actually begin in the evening first. That's why it says evening and morning were a day. Now, in the Jewish calendar, beginning about 6 o'clock this evening or sundown, and they have a certain little time, it begins what we call the next day. They have the night first. They have the evening and the morning. So beginning tonight, when all of us come back to hear the Gospel of Mark and Juana and everything else, when we come back around 6 or 6:30, technically speaking, Jewish calendar-wise, that is Monday night. Monday night, and then tomorrow is Monday day. The evening and the morning. Now, that's how they look at days. They go evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. That's why when they talk about the Sabbath, when do they have their Sabbath meeting? It's Friday night, because Friday night is really what? Saturday night, because it's the Sabbath. They go and they meet and they have their Sabbath time, which is the Sabbath night, and the next day is the Sabbath day. So that's how it fits. Now, everything that I can find, whenever the Bible uses or whenever anything uses evening and morning or 1, 2, or 3, or 4, it's always a real day, a literal day. Now, if you remember Genesis, listen to this. Genesis 1:5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and there was the evening and morning one day. And then he goes down a little bit further and he said there was evening and morning a second day. And what we find all the way through Genesis 1 in the description of the creation, it seems to me he's going out of his way to make sure they would understand what? That's a literal day. Evening and morning, they'd go, that's a day. One day, oh, that's one day. First day, second day. So when I look at it in that light, Exodus 18:13, people were with Moses from the morning to the evening, from the evening to the morning, same idea, a day, literal day. So, realize, 2,000 usages, 95% of them always literal day, except day of the Lord. When it's got a number with it, it's always a literal day. When it's evening and morning, it's always a literal day. So that's what we can find. Now, let's think about the context of Genesis chapter 1. We see that in every case in Genesis chapter 1, and this is what we talked about last week, the days are preceded by evening and morning and either first, second, or one, whatever it is. Verse 5 says it. Verse 8 says it. Verse 13 says the evening and morning there were a third day. Verse 19 says, and the evening and morning were a fourth day. It's the same thing. As you look in Genesis chapter 1, it appears. And we take the Bible from what we call historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. That's how we interpret the Bible. Now, some people don't interpret the Bible that way. We interpret the Bible in what we call historical, literal, grammatical. Historical in its historical context. Literal, what do the words actually mean? Grammatical, how do they fit in the sentence? That's how we study the Bible. Some people just call that the literal interpretation. I want you to make sure you understand it's called historical, literal, grammatical. So when you look at a passage of Scripture, we see it in its historical context, not only in that passage itself, but in its how it's used in the Bible, that fit. You look at it literally, what do these words mean? What does the word day mean? What does the word one mean? And then you look at it grammatically. How does it fit in the sentence? What's the subject? What's the verb? What's the object? How does it flow? You have to do that when you study the Bible. I'm doing the book of Romans, and let me tell you, honestly, every week I'd go to the original language, this Greek there, not Hebrew, but when I go to Romans, I take those passages that we study, and I go every word in the original language. I make sure I parse that word, knowing whether it's with first person singular, present active, indicative, or whatever it is, I put it together. I understand exactly what those words mean. I understand how the flow is. That's how I do on everything. It takes me a long time. That's a long passage, verses 18 through 23 this morning. And the next week, 24 through 32, that's a lot in Greek. And a lot of times we'll study 5 or 6 verses, and that still takes a long time to go through every word. When you study the Bible, you've got to study it from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, or else you'll just make an assumption, or you'll hear what somebody said, and you'll just go with it. So when we study this from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, what do you think he says to them when he says in the evening and the morning were the first day, evening and the morning were the second day, third day, fourth day? What did those people think that meant? What do you think he meant? You think they thought long periods of time, or do you think they thought a day? What do you think? I think they thought a day. And when people want to come up with long periods of time, what they're trying to do is match what some scientist has told them, or some way that they think they can get the age of the earth to match what some people are telling them. And so they said the only way we can make it match is to make days not really be days, because everybody knows a day could be in my father's day, and that could be long time periods. Well, the Bible doesn't use it that way. Now, in that context, Moses seems to be indicating literal days. Now, let me ask you this question. If he was trying to show long time periods, how would he do it? There's a Hebrew word, olam, which means either long or eternal. He could have used olam. He didn't use olam. I wonder why he didn't use olam if he was trying to say, listen, I know the people... I want them to understand I just took long, long, long time periods in there. I don't want them to understand it, so I'm going to say it was an olam. But he didn't say that at all. Let me ask you this question. If he was trying to say he did it in 6 days, how would he do it? Just like he did it. That's the way you would say it. It was 1 day. It was 2 days. Normal reading and understanding, not only of the word and meaning, plus the usage, the context leads to literal day. So you can tell, I don't hold to day-age theory. I don't hold to the fact that a day is a long time period. I believe, based on what I can see from the Scripture, that the Bible is true, and it says that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. And on the first day he did a certain thing, he spoke it into being. On the second day he did something, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. I don't have a problem with 6 days. In fact, my question is, I wonder why he took 6 days? Couldn't he have just said, there you go, okay, thank you very much. I mean, he could have, right? Right? He can do anything he wants. Now, the question might be, well, why in the world would he take 6 days? Couldn't he have just spoken into being all at once? Wonder why 6 days? Well, turn to Exodus 20. There is a pattern that God has for us, and it's an amazing thing. He told mankind from the very beginning, and his own people in the book of Exodus, the Mosaic Law, he said, here's what I got a plan for you. What I'd like for you to do, since there is an aspect that I've allowed this world to turn around, and it takes 24 hours for it to turn around, so that's a day. And then it takes, you know, a whole year for it to get all the way around. You know, I've got that all figured out. And you can mark it down and write it 360-something-something, point-something-something-something that ends up to have a leap year every now and then. But you can figure it out yourself, he says. And he says, now, I also got a plan that what I want you to do, because I know what you're like, because I know your frame, Psalm 106, Psalm 103, I know you are dust. If I didn't tell you this, you would work yourselves to death. But I know what you're like. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 6 days, boom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I want you that to be the time for you to work and to do the things that I've got for you to do. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take a break. I want you to rest. In fact, I want that day set apart so that it could be a day in which you think about me more, because you got things, other things going through your life, because believe me, I'm going to put things in your life. And what I'm going to do is on that last day, though, I'm going to have you rest. And that can be a day for you to really focus on me. It can be a day that you rest and recover and relax. That's what I want it to be. He put that in his Mosaic Law to his people. And we call that the what day? Sabbath day. It was for the Mosaic Law. Sabbath day is what day? So what day is it? It's Saturday. Be careful. What's the first day of the week? Sunday. Last day of the week is Saturday. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. When I was in college, I never went to church, never wasn't a Christian, became a Christian. Something came up about a week, and I said, oh, everybody knows. I say, Sabbath, that's Sunday. Sunday's the Sabbath. And the guy went, nah, JP. I said, no. He said, the first day of the week is Sunday, and the last day of the week is Saturday. And I said, it is not. He said, go look at the calendar. What's the first day of the week? I went, what do you know about that? And I, where'd they get this? And they said, from God. Okay, now look what he tells them. This is the Mosaic Law. We're not on the Mosaic Law. We're not under the Jewish Sabbath day. But there is a principle of do what? Work 6 days and rest. Now, when do we worship? On the first day of the week. See, Jewish people work 6 days, rested on the seventh. Christians, those who follow Jesus Christ, worship on the first day of the week and then work the others. Wonder why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And the Bible says on the first day of the week when you come together, we worship on the first day of the week in honor and glory to our Savior Jesus Christ who rose from the grave on the first day of the week. Now, here's what he told the Jewish people. Verse 8 of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? What does it mean to keep something holy? Set apart. Make this a set apart day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. On the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male, your female servant, your cattle, your sojourn. I don't want you to do any work. Why? It takes us back to the reason why he took 6 days to create. Because remember, he could have said, boom, everything's there. He said, I'm not going to do it that way because I have a plan. I've thought this thing out. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He's thought it out. He says, I'm going to give him a pattern. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 7 days is the Sabbath, the day of the Lord. Don't do any work. Why? Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Why should we work 6 days and rest on the seventh? As he says to the Jewish people, why? Because it took him how many days to create? 6 days. I just want to show you. I could do it all just like that. But what I'm going to do is do day one, do day three, four, five, six. And then what I'm going to do is rest. Not because I'm tired. Because I'm God. I'm going to rest to show you the pattern. And he says, now, Jewish people, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that Sabbath day, that rest day, and I want you to set it apart, make it a special day. I want you to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. Why? Because in 6 days, I created the heavens and the earth, and then I rested. Now, that's the pattern. It doesn't have to be long time periods. It's truth. And he says, I want to show you some of it. Look at Exodus 31. A couple of pages up. Exodus 31, look at verse 15. Once again, he's dealing with the same issue to them, Sabbath day. Hey, by the way, did they get it? What happened? They went and gathered manna and they did all kinds of things on the wrong day. They weren't supposed to do it. Do we get it? I know people who work 7 days a week, never stop, wearing themselves out. There's a pattern. You may say, well, but I work on Sunday. That's okay. Guess what? I work on Sunday. I do. I work on Sunday. I get here at 6. I go home about 9 at night. But I take off Monday. I work 6 days and rest on Monday. I have a good Monday. Now, look at this one, Exodus 31:15. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of what? Complete rest. Holy to the Lord, set apart to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is going to be, oh, he wasn't kidding around about this one. You're going to be put to death. What about the guy that got sticks, went out and gathered sticks on the Sabbath day? They didn't know what to do with him first. They put him where? They know what they did with him at first? They put him in a pen. They put him in a jail. Jewish people, they didn't have jails. You stole something. They didn't put you in jail and keep you there and feed you and take care of you. They made you pay back what you stole. And then said, now what? We're going to watch you from now on because you're a thief. But not steal again. And if there were certain things you did, they didn't put you in jail for 35 years. What'd they do to you? They killed you. They didn't have jails. They said, if a man steals, he pays back what? Fourfold. Pay the stuff back and get on with your life and don't do it again. Because we're watching you from now on. He says, boy, if you break the Sabbath, you won't break another one. Verse 16, so the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. This is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he ceased from labor, and he was what? God was refreshed? Yes. And he says, I want you to be refreshed. What do you think from reading that? Seeing how the word is used, what the Hebrew word means, how it's used with a one or two or three or an evening and a morning, and how it's... What do you think he meant? Do you think he meant long time periods, or do you think he meant a day? What do you think? Now, if it's long time periods, we're going to have to change something. If it's long time periods, we've got to answer these kind of questions. Like Romans 5:12 says, it's through one man, Adam, sin in the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon also all sin. Now, if there were all these animals and things living and dying long before man ever came along, then Romans 5:12 is wrong. It's wrong. It's through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, the cosmos, the ordered world system, and death by sin, for death passed to all, for all sinned. Now, some people say, well, he wasn't talking about animals. I think he was. I think the very first sin resulted in a death of an animal. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He killed an animal and gave them the coats of skin to cover up their sin. Oh, so as a subhuman animal, we were killing ourselves anyway. Yeah, there's death. So the first issue is, if there are long time periods, if we're going to make them long time periods, we've got to deal with Romans 5:12, because the Bible says that sin and death entered the world through Adam and not through long time periods of animals killing and eating each other and doing all this stuff up. Second is, there's a logical sequence to Genesis 1. If you want to, you can turn back there. But, you know, certain things were done on one day and day, 2 days and 3 days and 4 days. And on the third day, there were the certain things. And then there were animals and there were plants and all these things. On the third day, think about it, there were plants. On the fifth day, there were birds. On the sixth day, there were insects and things like that. Listen, there's a term called symbiosis, which is a biological term, which means a mutually beneficial partnership or relationship. There are some plants and animals and insects that depend on each other to make it. How did they make it if they weren't there yet for hundreds and hundreds and millions of years? How did something without eyes get eyes? How did something without feet get feet? How did that just happen? There's the problem of evening and mornings and long dark time periods. If there were plants on the third day, sun hasn't been given yet, how'd they make it for millions of years before the sun came in the fourth day? God is light. He created the light. Fourth day was the sun. Was it fourth day or third day? I get mixed up. Third day, I think. How did all that happen? Some people want to say, yeah, but 2 Peter says 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years. And so when he said a day, he meant 1,000 years. If you read Peter carefully when he makes that statement, he's not saying a day equals 1,000 years. He is saying that to God, a day and 1,000 years are the same, because God is outside time. And he's talking about how God deals with mankind. And he says, look, to God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. God's not worried about time and going, gosh, I wish that would hurry up. That's what he's talking about in 2 Peter. He's not saying, oh, here's something for you to go back and figure it out. There have been people take that. Oh, by the way, I want to give you one other thing, and then we'll open up for questions. Is it almost time? No bell has rung yet. I haven't heard bells yet, have I? Okay. I heard bells last week, and they got on me. There are people who have taken that 1,000 years is a day and day is 1,000 years, and they go back and they say, God created the heavens and earth in 6 days. Okay? So they say, okay, that means 6,000 years. There's going to be 6,000 years of time. That's what they hold to. A lot of people hold to that. And they will say, so God's going to have the earth go for 6,000 years, and then he's going to come in, and there's going to be the judgment, and then he's going to set up a kingdom that will go for how long? 1,000 years. So that's the seventh day of rest. And so when we get 6,000 years on the earth, we got it made. Because at the 6,000-year mark, Jesus Christ is coming back. Well, the only problem is Jewish calendar has been over 6,000 years, Jewish calendar-wise. So it doesn't really match. But people have tried to do that with that day thing. Okay, let me get one other thing. From the context, from the word uses, from the comparing descriptions, I think it says 6 days. Now, let me open up for questions or comments until the bell rings. Next time, dinosaurs. And I've found... And I don't want to show anything today. I found the best picture of a dinosaur that I've seen. I've got one for you. We're going to put it as an overhead next week. It's pretty new. In fact, it's something they found, I know, in the last 20 years. I've got a picture of it to show you next week. And that'll help us decide when these dinosaurs existed and all that. So that's next time as dinosaurs. Any questions, anything about day age or all that kind of stuff? Yeah, Jerry. I don't know, because he said because God was creating when it was dark. But if you remember, this: in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So he, in a sense, it started off and it was darkness. And so then he said light. So then there was this light, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called day and night, and evening and morning were day one. So from the very beginning of the first day, there's the light and darkness. Now the light and darkness do not have anything to do with the sun in that sense. Because the sun doesn't come till later on. And also, if you read carefully in Isaiah, I wrote the verse down, in Isaiah 45:7, he created darkness. So there was nothing. And we all pictured that maybe there was just darkness. There was nothing. He created darkness just like he created light. It starts off by saying, in the beginning, God created the earth. The earth was formless and void, and there was darkness. He created the darkness, and there was the dark. Then he created the light. So, Jerry, I don't know. I think that his plan was an evening and morning situation, a light and darkness, even before the sun came. And after the sun came, then obviously he uses the sun, the way he set it up, to do the day and the night, that kind of thing. And he goes on and says later that that's how we'll have seasons and lights and days and nights and all that kind of stuff. What else? Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a great question. Did you hear what he said? The Bible says in Matthew 12:38-40 that Jesus is going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But according to tradition, he was in the heart of the earth basically Friday to Sunday morning. So that can't be 3 days and three nights. Well, the problem with that is that he probably didn't die on Friday, even though we call it Good Friday. I've done this study before, but he probably died on a Wednesday. Because that's the first bell. Thank you. Hold that back up so the crowd can see it. That's the first bell, so I'll know. Okay. The best that I can tell when I look at the scripture, most people, let me throw this out. Most people believe Jesus died on Friday. Why? Do you know why? Because the next day was a what? Sabbath. It wasn't Saturday. It said it was a Sabbath day. Okay. Everybody says, okay, if it's a Sabbath day, that means it's a what? A Saturday. That's what everybody thinks. And so it has to be a Friday. But what we don't understand, Jesus died on the 14th day of the first month, which is Passover. The 15th day of the first month, regardless of what day of week it was the first day of unleavened bread. It was always a Sabbath day. So the day after Jesus died was a Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week it fell on. So in my study, I think he died on a Wednesday. And if you do it on a Wednesday, you can get, I think, a Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And he rose from the grave what would be our Saturday night, but it would actually be the Sunday morning when they came out. He's gone. So that's how I look at it. I think he died on. So I think the Bible is exactly right in Matthew 12:38-40 when he says 3 days and three nights. I think we've assumed that it had to be Friday, but it could have been any day of the week. And the day that fits is Wednesday. Yeah. We haven't had second bell yet, have we? Have y'all got a sign for the second bell? You've got. Oh boy. Okay. What else? Anything else? Paul. I have to go look it up. There's conflict in ones. One Jewish calendar I've got 5,700 and something, which is less than 6,000. Some people go by that. Then I've got another Jewish calendar that has it longer than that. What you have to remember, the Jewish year is how many days in it? 360 days. So it doesn't match ours. And they have, I forgot how many every year, they have to add another month called the second month of Adar. They add another month to make it match back again. That's how they do it. So I'll have to look it up for you. I've got one calendar that's got 5,700 and something. Dr. Harold Horner has done all that research, and there's a book called The Chronology of the Life of Christ. He's a Dallas Seminary prof, and he is probably the number one man in the world on biblical chronology plus the chronology of the life of Christ. And he has a year that he says that matches. And you're exactly right. They can go back and figure, and most of them that go back and do that say it had to be the Wednesday for it to work out where it would be the first day of the week. You're exactly right. Yes. Right.
How come they just came back and count of all the years from there and figure out how the whole earth
is? That's a great question. He says, if you go to Genesis 5 and it starts with Adam and it takes all these people and who lived and who died and how many years they lived and all that, why can't we just take those years and add it back up and we could do it? Well, a man by the name of Usher did that, and he came up with it was 4,004 years from Adam and Eve to Christ. He came up with that. But what he didn't do is that word when it says begot, doesn't necessarily mean I'm the father and this is my son. The word begot means descendant. So we don't know. There could be gaps in there. When it says, and this person begot this person, all he's saying is this person, this was a descendant of this person. So it could be two or three generations. So to make it exact, you can't be exact because we don't know whether he's skipping anybody or not or whether he's just showing a lineage. So that's why you can't really. Usher did it. He came up with 4,004 years. Which is pretty exact for a guy to do it. Most scholars today would say, well, he begot doesn't mean this is my son or this is my child. You think we're off? We're over time. We're way over time. Y'all messed up on the bell. Did they mess up on the bell? No, they did. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for a great day. Help us, Lord, next time as we think about dinosaurs and we think about all this, help us to see your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.